Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Hour number two, as I said, got Bradley Chubb coming up next segment, Teak, from North Carolina State. We've got football at the 40s after that, so football heavy hour. Josh Rosen today as well. And I've got to tell you, we're going to get an AI and Kobe here a little bit. But I want to ask Josh this, and I think this is a good question. I have no idea how he's going to answer it, but I promise we'll ask him this question. Like, you look at the arc, which has been all over the map in terms of who might go first, who, you know.
Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, you've been saying Chubb for a little bit. And, you know, Mel Kiper, half the time he's wrong, probably 70% of the time he's wrong. But he's been saying for a long time that it's going to be Josh Allen from Wyoming. Yep. From Wyoming. And now more recently it's, Mayfield starting to move in there. Mm-hmm. And maybe Sam Darnold. It is very interesting to me that the quarterback who is generally perceived, like the general consensus of most football people, is that Josh Rosen has the most arm talent, he's the smartest guy, but the only big name that has never been connected to the first overall spot.
He's the best pocket passer of all these guys, because that's what he does.
By far.
He stands in the pocket, he surveys the field, he reads well, and he delivers the football. He has some of these epic games. I know there's one, USC. He could never beat USC, even though he threw for 422 yards or something like that.
The A&M game to start the season, they were down about five scores.
35 straight, he scored to come back and win that game. So he's had these epic moments just being what an NFL quarterback needs to be. Yet we don't look at it like that because we talk about all the other things. He's a privileged kid. Right, privileged kids can't want it bad enough to be stars in the NFL, which is nonsense, but whatever. Or he's got too many interests outside of sports because he cares about the world and sees himself doing bigger things with his life than just being a football player. And I understand why that irks some people, but that's not a bad thing.
I don't think so.
And so, I mean, I'm looking forward to talking to him because he seems interesting to me. He's not, you know, the PE major being coached by the PE major. You know, I always say that. He's not that at all.
No.
And I appreciate it because I was that same way. Obviously, I wasn't a quarterback, but I was that same way. I had so many other interests outside of football. So I'm interested to hear from him later on in our next hour.
Going to be nice. So, again, Josh Rosen at 5 Eastern today. Dak Prescott, we've got him coming up Friday. Derwin James tomorrow. So, obviously, all the draft stuff here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got you straight, got you covered. All right, Allen Iverson. Boy, yeah, he's still gangster, huh? He's
awesome,
still running
man.
Around. Yeah, he changed it for anybody.
No, we did an event with him down in Philadelphia. It was awesome. It was.
How many drinks did he put down?
I wasn't there. I wasn't
How many
at
did
this
he put
one.
Down?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well,
I'm not commenting.
Seven, eight.
AI is a fellow Virginian like me. I'm not throwing AI under the bus.
No, neither am I.
Plus,
I don't want
to be walking down the street and he finds me and like crosses me up and tears my ACL or something like that. I don't want to do that.
All right. It's just never crap table he walks by or, I mean, he's going to do that. They're not changing for anybody.
We all have our vices.
That is true. He's hard scrabble. He's old school. He's not here to placate, not here to appease, not here to put the suit and tie on. You know, it's funny, too, because as much as Jordan, I want to play a cut that what he said about Kobe in a moment, but as much as Jordan really helped revolutionize, you know, the wardrobe game, the sneakers and the sneaker revolution, the baggy shorts, the shaved head, even though Michigan had a little something to say about that as well with the Fab Five back in the day with Rose and C. Webb and those guys. But he's Allen Iverson is so important to the – not just because he won an MVP and he was a great player, got to the finals, blah, 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 one of the greatest guards of all time, one of the greatest pound-for-pound players of all time, blah, blah, blah. But really the cultural shift.
No doubt.
The dynamic of the NBA, he was at the forefront.
The things that you see now that they just didn't do before him, like tattoos all over your body.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have been a spokesperson for anybody if you had tattoos.
Cornrows,
same way.
Yep.
The outfits, all that. And music interaction with sports. That was all AI. And that's why so many, you know, I don't say young players, but these guys are young relative to us. These guys now, like LeBron and even in Kobe back in the day and et cetera, that followed AI, they revere him and they love him because he let athletes be themselves. For so much of, I think, our sports history, you had to conform to something. And AI was one of the first that said, you don't got to conform. Be who you are, mm-hmm. right? You can play a game. Right, and you're not running a company. You're not, teaching kids in school. You are playing a game. Be yourself, and I think a lot of guys appreciate that.
Only problem with that, and again, I'm not trying to take a shot at AI. The mm-hmm. only problem with that is
when he got off the rails a little bit.
When you do that, you're almost broke.
Agreed.
I mean,
he got off the rails a little bit.
He's got that balloon payment. I think it's when he's 60.
I think it already happened.
No. He's structured it with Reebok.
No,
where...
It already happened. So
he, you sure?
Yeah, positive. Positive.
You sure? Because there was something like when he was 60.
I know.
Money coming.
I know. But it was.
Oh, he needed it and they got it.
No, it was
misreported.
Okay. So he's doing all right.
He's a guy who I think every fan wants to have somebody like Allen Iverson to root for. Because
he's an icon. You go to Philly, he's there. He's an icon.
But it's beyond there's a lot of icons. But even beyond, and you're right, he's definitely an icon. But it's why he's an icon. Because he's so relatable, and he's so fierce. And I think we all wish we could kind of be like that a little bit.
He is who he is because he just didn't give a you-know-what.
Yeah.
He didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
And he still doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He is who he is. And I think a lot of people wish they could be like that. Say, mm-hmm. I don't give a you-know-what.
Yeah, whatever. You don't like it? Tough.
Tough.
Well, listen to this. He was doing something with, I guess this was with Unguarded, right? And he got into the they were talking about the greatest player of all time. Mm-hmm. LeBron was in there. And, of course, they got around Michael Jordan.
Mention of Kareem.
No. What else is new? Poor Kareem at a skyhook in the goggles, getting the shade as always, but we stick up for him. But AI swiveled this thing back to Kobe. He said, don't sleep on the Mamba here.
What bothered me is when they do talk about it, LeBron is great, first of all. When they talk about comparing him to Mike, I don't understand how they don't have the debate when it comes to Kobe. Like, I don't get it. I mean, what you forgot or something? What they forgot?
That's what I'm saying.
I really think they forgot. Like, I really think they forgot. The Mamba, man. The certified serial killer.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what is that, a bunch of black guys hanging out in the barbershop?
Usually the best conversations.
I'm telling you, man.
Honest ones, right?
I do. No without a doubt.
No censors. Let me tell you, here's the problem. Well, there's no problem with what he said. But if I want to take what he said mm-hmm. and then advance it into a real basketball like, really, where does Kobe reside? Where is he? I think what hurts Kobe, at least in my opinion, not everybody's going to share this, he never elevated a moribund product to something that was special. Hmm. He needed Shaq. Like he needed Paul Gasol at the end.
Yeah, but I think
Jordan did it.
But I think
LeBron's done.
But I think Kobe's
even AI did it.
Aura is less about his accomplishments, and they were vast. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he won 5 championships. You don't just say it was all about someone else. It was also about Kobe as well. I think he gets knocked because of the lack of MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
He had one.
Yep.
Didn't win more than one, even though he probably should have. I think Nash had one that he
Steve
probably
Nash had the
won,
back-to-back.
Had the back-to-back. And so you look at him comparatively speaking, you say, well, he was never deemed the best more than one time, which is nonsense because he certainly was in that conversation. But I think why players respect and love Kobe was because of his attitude towards winning. You know what I mean? It was in an evolving NBA where it was starting to become about individual brands and what I represent, what's my shoe deal, all these other things. Kobe was he had all that stuff as well, but it was mm-hmm. all about winning for him, right? He was obsessed, like singularly obsessed with winning championships, even if he didn't love his teammates. And I think that's something that a lot of players respect. So it's not necessarily with Kobe about, well, he did this and this and this and this and stats say this and this and this and this. It's about his mindset, man. He was a killer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which is why AI relates to him.
Exactly.
Because AI was the same way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would buy that. I think there's certain, Mortons, I think there's a lot of truth to what Teague just said here. I'll tell you this, though. You look at the multiple winners, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know Kareem's got six. Bill Russell and MJ both have five MVPs.
Yep.
Wilt and LeBron have the four. Moses Malone, a lot of people forget about that. Larry Bird, Magic, each have three.
I forgot Moses had three.
A lot of people do. Yeah. Also, you got to remember, when Moses came up, I mean, Moses came up, he was 18, 19 mm-hmm. years old in the ABA. Well, yeah. We weren't born yet. You know, we saw Moses kind of at the end when he was heavier mm-hmm. and he was kind of hanging on a little bit. So we didn't see vintage Moses. I believe the first MVP award he won was in 79. But the names I just ran through, like the multiple winners, I don't know that maybe, with the exception of Moses, all the other names I would rank ahead of Kobe on the all-time list.
Yeah, probably.
LeBron, Wilt,
probably.
Kareem, Bird, Magic.
But does Kobe belong in the conversation? That's the question.
For me, he's a cut below that.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm going to, you know, but again, this is a very literal interpretation of greatness. Like, my knock on Kobe, and again, it's nothing about the isolation.
Yeah.
You could cut your heart out, rip your throat.
It's about the accomplishments.
The guy's an assassin.
So you're talking about the accomplishments then. But the problem with the accomplishments, it's a subjective conversation to talk about someone's game, mm-hmm. right? How does he ball? What does he look like when he's playing basketball? And in that conversation, a lot of people will elevate Kobe.
I agree with that.
But then you, by necessity, probably because mm-hmm. there's so much and there's so many guys in the conversation, you start crossing over like game with stats or game with MVPs or game with championships.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start doing that, Kobe unfortunately gets eliminated. You know what I mean? And
yep.
it's not because of the championships, but because of the stats and the MVPs and et cetera. And it's a shame. I think that's what AI is talking about. He's like, throw everything else aside, right? Forget the score. Just watch this guy ball. Watch this guy play basketball,
yeah.
and you tell me he's not one of the greatest.
It's a very raw interpretation. It's almost like we're in the schoolyard. You need a bucket. Give me three guys more besides Kobe that are going to get you that bucket.
Yeah, you're right. And LeBron's not going to shoot it. He's going to dish it.
Yeah.
Jordan might shoot it.
Jordan will get to the rack. Kobe
will, because Kobe will put up 30 of them.
He will. He'll keep going. And even the players, Teague, who won two MVPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bob Pettit, great name, obviously way before our time, but a great luminary of the game. Bob Pettit's got two with the St. Louis Hawks. Karl Malone's got two, top three all-time scorer. Tim Duncan's got two, one of the all-time great.
Yeah,
he's on my top 10 list, so I place him better than Kobe or higher than Kobe. Steve Nash has two, plays Steve Nash with all due respect, couldn't shine Kobe's shoes. And Steph Curry's got two. And that's one that's up for interpretation. If Steph Curry's ankle woes are behind him,
mm-hmm.
and he comes back and he has, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, replicating what he's done so far, or five more years, you can make the case that Steph Curry has had a better career than Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
You can.
I mean,
I'm not saying that it's
better,
absolute.
A better career, but again, I'm saying look at the game. Go look at the game. The video.
You say that, or is AI saying that?
I'm channeling my inner AI right now.
I got you.
Look at his game.
All right.
And that, by that regards, AI is saying, "Well, look at my game."
Yeah, exactly. He's really just trying to prop himself up. I got it.
Exactly.
All right, we don't need to prop this guy up too much because his game doesn't form. This guy's a stud. Bradley Chubb. You know, can he go first?
Dude's
Miles Garrett, bookend, defensive end.
He's a monster.
He's
man.
A beast. He is a star. This is not like, well, he's got great reach and he could get 15 sacks. Bradley Chubb very well might be a transcendent defensive end. And we'll talk to him coming up. The Wolfpack star, Hour 3, Josh Rosen, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
This week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, I sat down with maybe the most unique and controversial character in the history of the NBA, the Worm, Dennis Rodman. And the Hall of Famer details his new image and persona. And he was actually, I asked him, was there anybody scared of him in the NBA?
You weren't scared of anybody, but was anybody scared of you?
I can say one person in that was scared of me, Popovich.
Popovich? He wasn't even a player. Why was Greg Popovich scared of you? Did you threaten him? I mean, you telling us some stories right now?
I'm telling you stories, okay? So I went to the barbershop and sat down in the chair. I fell asleep while he was doing my hair. I thought he'd just give me a cut. So it's like an hour later, I woke up. He said, "So how you like it?" I looked up. I said, "Oh, shit." I said, blonde, you know, blonde. It was a mohawk. And Papa Bear went crazy. He told John Lucas, he said, we didn't sign up for this. He has to dye his hair back to black. Like, this is what you get. So basically, my life changed right there.
Tiki's Barbershop Podcast is brought to you by Geico. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news is a quick way that you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, welcome back. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Now, Tiki, we can't just make it all about the quarterbacks here. There's a couple other young men trying to crack this party, get paid, and get prominently paid at the top of the draft here. One, of course, is Saquon Barkley. The other is Bradley Chubb, who is an absolute beast from NC State, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Bradley, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Yeah, I wanted to start with this. You know, this is going to probably surprise some people or sound like an odd statement when I say this, but Tiki is a former player. He knows where I'm coming from, and I know you do as well. Not every football player loves football. What's so obvious about you is that you had this unbridled passion, this incredible spirit for the game that is rare. You just love football, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Where does that come from? I mean, because are you born with that? Do you have to kind of kickstart that emotion?
I mean, in my family, like, football was a huge sport. My dad played. And my brother played as well. Well, he still plays. So, I mean, it was just one of those things that it let me show my competitive side a lot. I mean, me and my brother did everything competitive. You name it, we did it. We tried to compete in it. And so, like, as a little kid, I was one of those kids that I was always hitting people and stuff like that, and I was getting in trouble. I was getting sent to the office and stuff. So the game of football at first – let me hit people and not get in trouble. So that was like the one of the reasons I love playing it so much. And then after that, it was just became something like I just invested so much time into it that I just like grew to love it so much and wanted to be a perfectionist at it.
Yeah, no, I know that your brother was at Wake Forest. He played for the Lions for a little bit. So Nick Chubb, who is obviously at Georgia, he's your cousin. So it is in your blood. It's in your family. You know, when I think about you, though, I think about your size. I mean, you're fast and elusive for a guy that's 270. You know, a lot of DNs these days, Bradley, are like 255. You know, so you're big and physical and strong. Has that been your biggest asset as a defensive end? Because so many people seem to think, well, yeah, that's a small D, and I can overpower him. That's not the case with you.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that helps me out a lot, being able to have an aspect of speed and an aspect of power as well. So, I mean, just keeping people on their toes, and it allows me not to be one-dimensional. It allows me to play all over the field, I feel like, as well. In our scheme in NC State, I moved inside a couple times. I dropped a couple times. So I could do like being big and being elusive helps me out a lot just because I could do a lot of things.
So to Bradley Chubb, 2017 ACC Defensive Player of the Year, first team All-ACC, and absolutely a lock to go very early on Thursday night in the draft. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, no, I think about NC State. I'm an ACC guy myself. I went to the University of Virginia, and it wasn't a power by any stretch of the imagination. But what made you choose NC State? It's not that football power any longer. Obviously, you did great things there. 9-4 record last year. You had some big upset wins, Florida State and Louisville, the ones that jumped to the top of most people's minds. But what made you choose NC State?
When I went on there for a visit, it was like I fell in love with it. I loved the coaches. I went on a visit with a lot of other guys that were committed. So, I mean, I just felt like something there when I first went on that visit. And then, like those guys that I met on that visit are still my best friends to this day. I talk to them pretty much, if not every day, every other day. So it was something about those people and something about that place that just made me feel like made me feel comfortable pretty much. And looking back on it, it was probably the best decision I ever made.
That's working out for you pretty well.
Yeah.
If I'm Bradley Chubb, and I know that most of you guys don't do this, which is why you're probably in the position to do what you're about to do, and I wasn't. But if I were you, I'd be looking at mock drafts. Well, let me see. The Browns, they took Myles Garrett last year. I can bookend with him. But they could also take Josh Allen, or they could take Saquon Barkley. But if they don't take me at one, they could take me at four. But I know the Giants traded JPP. How do you process all of this crazy information as to where you ultimately might wind up?
I mean, I honestly don't. Just because, like you said, if you try to think about all that stuff, your head is going to be hurting. Your world is just going to be spinning. So I just try to do what I can control, and that's just continue to work hard, work out hard, and go on these visits and impress coaches as much as I possibly can, and just be myself, letting people know who I am as a person and as a player.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like, mock drafts and stuff, I can't control where I go or who decides to trade up or trade down or anything like that. So I try not to pay attention to it because, like you said, you'll be all over the place trying to keep up with that.
Yeah, leave that to us. We'll do the speculation for you. We'll throw a lot of flogs on the fire, let you know where you're going. But, you know, I hear you. So while you don't get necessarily team-specific, if I'm also Bradley Chubb, I'm sitting there saying, man, I believe in my heart that I'm the best player in the country here, and I really want to go first overall. Do you believe that you have a chance to go first overall?
Yeah, I do. I do believe that. I mean, just because, I mean, I put in so much hard work the on tape and all that. I had, I mean, great games and stuff like that. So I feel like as a prospect, I am one of the best, and I feel like I can go number one overall. But if I don't, then I won't be discouraged. I mean, I'll just keep doing what I've been doing.
Okay. It's Bradley Chubb with us here. Of course, NC State standout, one of the stars getting ready for Thursday's draft. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
We have on our CBS Sports Network, they have your Twitter account up there. What is Astro Chubb?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. What is that?
What is Astro Chubb?
So, like, me and my brother, like, really him, he started it. He was he called himself an astronaut and stuff like that, and he named me Astronaut Junior and stuff. And
I like that.
It started out as a joke and stuff like that because he was a huge Future fan. And so Future always talked about being an astronaut and stuff like that. So it started off as a joke, and then, like, everybody started calling us that. So we just kept it and ran with it, changed my Instagram name to Astronaut, changed my Twitter name to Astro Chubb. And it's just it's like a part of me now pretty much. And, it, like, my whole draft suit that I got with collection by Michael Strahan, it's, like, incorporated into that. And
oh,
all that,
nice.
So. Yeah, so you're going to see a little bit of my astronomicalness.
Oh, I like that.
Wait, on draft night, we're going to see some astronomicalness on draft night?
Yeah.
Hey, we got some suit preview here. You know what's funny, Bradley? Right. I went to UVA. I wanted to be an astronaut, so I relate, man. I knew I liked you for a reason.
Exactly.
You know, let me jump back into some of these conversations you were talking about. You're going in to meet some of these teams, and I'm sure you talk with their defensive coordinator or their defensive line coach. Do they talk about moving you around and using your versatility, you know, putting you down inside and doing all those different things that, you know, we used to never see DNs do, but now DNs do a lot because it's such a competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams talked about standing me up, putting me down, and moving me inside on some situations and all that just because I've done all that. And so they feel like, they know that I'm comfortable with doing it. And I feel like not only as a player it gives me an advantage, but, like, in this process it gives me advantage as well, because if they want to draft a certain position and see a guy like me and, like, oh, he could do all three of these things. So, I mean, there's no limit on what he could do. Instead of being one-dimensional, I feel like that helps me out a lot.
Now, I don't want to ask you a personal question, but are you ripped? Are you jacked up? Because, you know, Old Spice makes you do, like, shirtless commercials in the shower and stuff
half-horse.
I know,
half a horse. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, tell us about this Old Spice campaign that you have going on with the new red collection and the new scent called Captain.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've just been getting with these guys while I'm here in Dallas. I'm enjoying the process and enjoying my time with them and just trying to get the word out about this new Captain scent. I'm going to be having my parents with me the whole time, and I'm going to be giving a bear hug to Roger Goodell on draft day, so I can't be smelling musty
nice.
Or anything like that. So I made sure I had the Captain scent with me. It's like a luxury smell without paying the luxury price for a scent. So that's one thing I love about it.
Well, you're going to be getting drafted early, so why don't you give Goodell a little spray? Because he might get a little musty giving everybody hugs the rest of the night. So guys that are getting drafted in the 20s, they're going to say, this guy smells pretty good. All right, listen.
Yeah, I might have to slide him a little something.
Slide him up there, you know? I got to ask you, look, we gas you up because you've earned it and you are a special player. But I got one question for you, and I really am curious of the answer here. No sacks in three games against Clemson. Now, Clemson puts out a lot of pros, and that's the one thing that a lot of people don't understand. What is your answer to that? How come no sacks against Clemson?
I mean, just depending on the game plan or their game plan, our game plan. It just depends. Like, if you watch the film, I'm getting back there. It's not like it was I'm getting locked up at the line of scrimmage. I'm getting back there. It was just a team that does a lot of RPOs, a lot of quick passes, and for – a guy rushing the passer, if you trying to get back there in 1 second, it's going to be hard. So, you just, like, you can't look at – I mean, stats are good, but you can't look at stats all the time. You sometimes got to watch the film for yourself.
No, that's true. Stats, what do I say? I say lies, damn lies, and statistics. They'll lie to you.
Manipulate them any way you want.
All you got to do, though, is watch the tape on you, Bradley. You can tell you're a baller, and you're going to have great success on the next level, man. Appreciate you joining us today.
Appreciate it.
Good luck to you.
No doubt.
Thanks
for having me. Thank you.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time for the Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. We take a look at somebody who's getting it done or got it done this week. Nobody hotter than Manny Machado hitting .500. He's raking flat out. He's got 12 hits, 5 jacks, 8 ribbies, 5 walks, and an OPS that's almost 2. In his past 7 games. Yet the Birds, they can't win with that. They're just 1-6 in the span, feeding a little more fuel to the fire that Baltimore will trade their young star before he becomes a free agent this offseason. I've been saying that for a long time. I'd be stunned. There's no way he's on the team at the All-Star break. He's going to be gone. It'd be bad business not to. They can't afford him. They wouldn't pay him if they could, and you got to get something back for his stardom. He is just a great player. All right, the Player of the Week brought to you by Granger, delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Granger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Granger.com on whatever you need, whenever you need it. Granger, for the ones who get it done. We had some calls here to BitTeek, 1-855-212-4227. Football at the 40s coming up momentarily. Next hour, stacked. Josh Rosen in 20 minutes. Obviously, UCLA quarterback. And after that, Patrick Cantlay, who is a PGA golfer, who is a name many of you probably don't recognize, but it's pretty cool because you know the Zurich Classic down in Louisiana? It recently went to a two-team event.
Yeah, it's
and
a
his
team
teammate.
Event.
You know who his teammate is?
I know this. No, yeah, it's
Patrick Reed,
the Masters winner.
So everybody says Patrick Reed's got no buddies on tour. Cantlay loves him.
He does.
He'll lift a different perspective.
Hey,
cool.
We'll see.
All right.
See what he really says about him.
Yeah, true. We'll ask him a couple of different ways to get the real answer. The blast after that as well, but a little football at the 40s. You ready?
Yep, let's go.
You ready?
Yep.
Let's go.
Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki, we start with somebody that we've teased all day. Josh Rosen joins us here next hour. Josh Rosen says opponents have used anti-Semitic slurs against him. Here's a quote. This was on NFL.com. Michael Silver had this. It ran yesterday. I get a lot of Jewish things, he said. My nose particularly. I get, like, this is the quote, stay the F down, you Jewish bleep. I'm going to break your bleeping nose, you Jew.
Yeah.
End quote.
Yeah, this is obviously it goes along the same lines as use of the N-word in the National Football League, which has been outlawed.
Not treated the same way, though. That's for sure.
Definitely not treated the same way. It's really because there's not a lot of Jewish players in the National Football League, so it doesn't become an issue. But I'm sure if this leaks out in the NFL, it will obviously become something that gets attention drawn to it.
I like his quote, though. He says, I really like when people try to get in my head. I like away games more than home games. I like silencing the crowd. That's a big thing. You just can't do it, even though people try.
True.
Okay. A lot of confidence. Josh Rosen joins us next here on Tiki and Tierney next hour. Uh-oh, Falcons fans. Now, listen. There's been so many intimations on social media.
Yeah.
Some dots connect, some don't. All right. We'll see about this one. But Julio Jones, as we know, who's absent from Falcon workouts, deleted all of his Falcon pictures from Instagram, basically saying he wants a new fresh start on social media. What's this all about?
Well, this stems from the, I forget what they call it down at the University of Alabama, the shop or whatever it is, the thing that the LeBron's company sued them over. He had a conversation with some current University of Alabama athletes, and he talked about social media and how you have to be able to walk away from it. And at the end of the day, you know, what you say on social media doesn't define who you are. And so the Falcons and Julio's people are positioning this as, well, he's just, you know, doing what he says, as well as, you know, you guys don't need social media, then guess what? I don't need social media. However, let me just take a quick look at his contract situation. There is a potential out in his contract after this season. And when you look at the average, he's no longer the top paid wide receiver in the National Football League. And because of some of these young guys coming up, he's actually probably about fifth or sixth. So I'm just saying, when there's any doubts about things like this, it's usually money.
here's the numbers. He's at right around $14 million.
Yep.
Below Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. below Mike Evans, mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, which is criminal.
Very.
And also A.J. Green, who makes $15 million. So maybe a little stance via the social media outlet. We'll see about this. But he is not at the workouts. Obviously, if he's not there for mandatory minicamp in mid-June, you got a real problem. We'll see if hopefully this resolves itself. I want to see him be a Falcon
for
his career. He's a star. He likes it there. They seem to love him. Why wouldn't you? But it's an interesting little social media wrinkle today. All right, John Lynch, the new GM of the semi-new of the 49ers here, said he's going to be patient with Reuben Foster's legal issues here, Teak. Now, he said that he will be cut if proven that he hit a woman, which, I mean, it's a fairly easy stance to take.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Reuben Foster, what do you think?
This is a hard one.
It's the easy way out here, I think.
The right thing to do is to just cut bait with him. The hard thing to do is to stick with him and let it play out in a court of law.
Now, but it's not the hard thing when he was basically your second or third draft choice. Then, like, you almost have to stick with him.
True.
Self-preservation.
True. Well, I mean, given the backlash that will happen if he's on the team next year and, you know, this starts to trend towards true, or he gets convicted in a court of law or pleads guilty or other evidence comes out, then the 49ers look like they're, you know, on the wrong side of doing what's right. And so that's what makes it hard. I think they're letting the legal process play out, which I don't know if it's the smartest thing to do, but with a prospect as good as Reuben Foster is, I mean, does it surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me, but I'll say this. If Trent Baalke drafted Reuben Foster, and this was John Lynch's first year as GM, I honestly believe he'd be off the team.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I mean, when you burn a first-round pick on a guy who came with a lot of baggage, he's on your quote-unquote campus for 4 or 5 months. He's arrested. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
He's just trying to make himself not look bad, John Lynch. I get it on some level, but
All goes back to an April 12th incident where he's accused of dragging his girlfriend and punching her in the head, which ruptured her eardrum. So,
yeah. Okay, how about this one, Teague? Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman David Irving, you referenced this earlier in the show, he's being investigated for domestic violence by the Frisco Police Department after allegations made by a woman claiming to be his girlfriend. But then there was a report in the Dallas Morning News on Monday that she made some allegations that were false. I mean, hacking of his Twitter account. This is all over the map.
This is ridiculous. So he and his girlfriend get into a fight. His girlfriend then is caught cheating on him, at least according to David Irvin. So he kicks her out of the house or whatever happens. She hacks into his Twitter account, starts making all these accusations. In the interim, there's this incident on the lawn where they're screaming. The neighbors call 911. She says, he hit me, and then she recants. I mean, I don't even know where to go here with this.
Start with keep your passwords to yourself unless you're married.
Yeah, and more importantly, get rid of the crazy women.
That's a good starting point.
Yeah.
And they should get rid of the crazy men.
Exactly.
But if she did cheat on you, you could throw her out. I mean, we're okay with that, right?
Of course.
You can't touch her, obviously. You can throw her out. You can still say that today, right?
I think so.
Is that insensitive?
They do have a baby together.
Oh, they do. Mm. I didn't know that.
Complications.
Okay. Odell Beckham Jr. expected to attend the Giants voluntary minicamp. Listen, this has gone all over the map here. He's playing for the Giants this year. He's not going to get dealt. I thought he would. You said that you always said that he would not get traded.
Yep.
You stood by that. I thought they were, with that Rams stuff, that really perked me up a little bit here. But it looks like it's going to, at least for now, they're going to stave off the inevitable.
Even just slightly intimate that one of the most, fantastic wide receivers that we've seen in a lot of the dynamic, you know, explosive is available, people are going to start calling you. You know what I mean? Even if you have no intention of trading him. And that may have actually been good for Odell, because it showed the Giants how much people would have valued his services despite the distractions that are out there. At the end of the day, OBJ is a good guy. And he loves the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of know he was going to be there because he's not going to sit out a season. I mean, you hear these threats, whether they're coming from his agent or his manager, whoever it may be. But he's not sitting out a season. There's just no way he would do that.
So, you know, good that he's going to show up at camp, just like he showed up for the beginning of all-season workouts as well.
Okay, you say he's a good guy. I believe you, and I agree. You say he loves the game of football. I believe you. I agree. Still needs to mature. Needs to tighten things up.
There's no
a
doubt
bit.
About it. It's time.
Time to grow up here, OBJ.
Exactly.
You're not 19. You're not 22. Grow up. Be a leader. Be a franchise icon that you can be. And drop the nonsense at the door. It's time to take the next step because you got all the talent in the world.
No doubt.
This year. Now, I got to tell you, that I'm actually kind of with Baker Mayfield on this. Now, Baker Mayfield, let's face it. Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, I guess anybody could slip in the draft. So I guess you want to certainly dot all of your I's here. But Baker Mayfield dropped this quote when asked about why he didn't necessarily do a great. Well, he wasn't.
Yeah, he didn't have a great interview football wise
for the Chargers.
With the San Diego Chargers, not like personality wise.
No.
Just the X's and O's of their game planning.
Their pre-draft meeting, and here's Mayfield's quote. This was on the MMQB, I believe. Robert Klemko had this. He says, "Quote: I didn't take a look at their playbook as much as I should have." Mayfield said, "It could have gotten a little bit better, but at the same time, I'm prioritizing which playbooks I'm going to learn. No offense to them, but I got a lot on my plate," which led to this retort from Chargers GM Tom Telesco.
"I'm probably not prepared to comment on that. My plate's pretty full, so no offense, Dan."
All right, a little touche, a little jab back there. Listen, it doesn't look great. If you're not a Mayfield guy, you could probably twist this and slant this against him. Maybe a little bit too forthright, too volunteering, but I get it.
Yeah, I do, too.
If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm inhaling the Browns playbook.
Yep.
I make sure I know every play in the Jets playbook. Mm-hmm. I know what's up with the Denver Broncos. I got to know what's happening with the Cardinals. I got to know about the Bills and the Dolphins. I'm not worried about them right now.
You're right. And the Chargers have a couple of quarterbacks already on their roster. Do they talk good about? Obviously, Phillip Rivers being the starter, but there's other guys there. They're not one of the teams that you're looking at saying they definitely need a quarterback. So if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm doing the same thing. Calm down, Chargers.
Yeah.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, time to squeeze in a couple of calls. How's that sound, Tiki?
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's go to Kansas. Jerry's up on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Jerry, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. We are good, man. What do you got?
Fantastic. This is the thing, though. It's like Cleveland's going to out-Cleveland themselves. They're going to take Barkley, number one, and then Lamar Jackson, number four.
Oh, God, no. I
know it's terrible. I know it's terrible.
It's not happening.
I know, I get it, but you guys are defense. You're all defense. Chubb, I know you guys just talked to him.
Yep.
Great player, great whatever.
Yep.
He's going number two. To the Giants.
Yeah, I think
there's no reason they need a quarterback right now.
No, you're right. So they're either going running back. Well, if Barkley's not there, then they won't go running back.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of people want the backup quarterback for the New York Giants. I think they need a position of need, like need now to play right now. So Barkley or Chubb makes sense, especially considering it's the age-old game in football, right? You get rid of an old, higher-priced guy, older, higher-priced guy for a younger, cheap guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley Chubb is, by all intents and purposes, at least all expectations, is going to be a stud at the next level. You replace JPP immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you're making Olivier Vernon expendable, but you're not so worried as he gets to the edge or in the latter stages of his career because mm-hmm. there's someone else to step right in.
I agree.
It makes sense.
They picked up Ogletree,
yep.
linebacker for the Rams.
Yep. He's undersized, but he's a good player.
I like him. I like him. A little worried about what's his name?
Landon Collins.
I got so many football names in
my
head.
Landon Collins. Second surgery on his
Yeah.
I am a little worried, not really, because it's an upper body issue. It's an arm. It's not like if it was like his tibia.
No, I hear you. But
that would worry me, but still, he's a banger, man. He's not going in and not leading with his arm. You know, if that makes sense.
This is a problem. I think this is a problem. Just got this. Mike just whispered this in my ear. He said, this news just came across. Andrew Luck will not throw at minicamp. All right.
Of course. I've been saying this for 6 months, BD.
So he's not going to throw. You have been saying this. He's not going to throw at minicamp here. The timing of the announcement is interesting because Luck has always struck me as the kind of guy who would do the right thing. You have to wonder if there wasn't some sort of like honest, like, uh-huh. hey, listen, guys, if you got to draft a quarterback Thursday night, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Maybe this could be a shakeup to the draft that we didn't expect.
And they might lament dropping from 3 to 6.
You're right.
Because they traded from the Jets.
I mean, they could be all gone.
Yeah. I mean, Jackson will be there.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
the
ones that they want.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, wow. Mm. I mean, you got to start looking at the NFL without Andrew Luck on some level. You have to.
If Andrew Luck is not ready to go by the beginning of this season,
and he's not ready now is a problem. Let's be honest.
I trust me, I know. Yeah. I said this 3 months ago. But if he's not ready by the beginning of the season, you seriously have to think his career could be over.
Wow. Okay, well, this career is just getting going. Josh Rosen from UCLA next on Peaky and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.